If you'd like to follow along, go ahead and open up your hymnals to Psalm 91. Starting at verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Here ends the reading. Today, the first Sunday in Lent, is the start of a long Lenten journey. You heard me talk with the kids just a minute ago about needing to be prepared for a hiking trip and what we should take along, and more importantly, who should go with us. I know that when Amy and I travel to Wisconsin, as much as we look forward to it, we always dread the drive. 12 long hours in the car, aching backs, cramping legs, crabby wife. I hope she's not watching this. As much as we prepare, these long journeys are often daunting when we start out. It looks like we have so far to go. Life is not that much different. Our lives seem like such a mess, and heaven, perfection, is so far away. How do we cope? How will we ever find true Easter joy? Will I just be faking it until mid-April when the Easter lilies and the white pyramids have replaced the somber effects of Lent? Well, the psalm for today, Psalm 91, speaks to people like us. It speaks words of hope. Starting at verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If this sounds like a favorite hymn of yours, you might be a Lutheran. A mighty fortress is our God, written by Martin Luther, for sure a Lutheran staple, is typically thought of to be based on Psalm 46. Now, the monks sang these psalms every day for many years, so I'm sure that our psalm, Psalm 91, was in the back of Luther's mind also. But to sing our sermon hymn today might seem a little odd, perhaps more fitting for Reformation Sunday than on this Lenten Sunday. But the verses from this hymn do remind us that a Christian is never by themselves, never solo. His or her strength is always that of our God and his Son. We are not relying on our own strength here, but on his. Our busy world would tell us what to do. But that busyness of life often gets in the way of our repentance and our contemplation. This psalm reminds us that the most important thing about us is what we are and whose we are. We are the people that dwell in God's protection. We are the people whom God, in the waters of baptism, has promised to love cherish, and protect. We are the people he feeds at this altar. We are those sheep of his flock. We are the children whose prayer turns a father's ear. Moving on to verse 3. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. What a fitting description for what God does for us. We are like helpless little birds in a big and dangerous world. There are many who would catch and devour us, if not today, then another day. Do not imagine that we can watch a flock of geese fly off and say that I will be one of the lucky ones who will not perish. There are no lucky ones. Eventually, death will have its way with each and every one of us. The fowler is very thorough. The fowler is death. But even on that deadly day, God covers us with his wings, and under his protection, we are safe. Jesus has not only conquered our tempting foe, but also our greatest enemy, death. This Sunday, all Sundays in Lent are not numbered with the 40 days of the Lenten penitential season. Think of each Sunday as a little Easter, because Jesus rose on this day of the week. It is always a celebration day. The world and its threats cannot intimidate us. Let them take us, goods, fame, child, and spouse. Let them be gone. Let the world be filled with 1,000 demons, because one little word can defeat them all, the word who is Christ. Verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. These words are not easy to hear. I couldn't read this and not think of the war happening in the Ukraine. For those who have fought in battle, these words take on a meaning that most of us will never understand. And I pray that we won't have to. But there is another battle waging on also. And the psalmist is not promising us an easy victory in which our enemies simply melt before us. Thousands may perish. Indeed, sin's bitter grip will chill one, inflame another, and excruciate a third. They are the results of the devil's relentless attack. It will affect and afflict us all. But they are not the only story that we get to listen to. There is another story, another narrative, which speaks of another and greater truth than sin, death, and the grave. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. Martin Luther, in his commentary on the Psalms, writes that this refers to the one who dwells, who really dwells, does not merely appear to dwell and does not just imagine that he dwells in God. This is more than head knowledge, more than just regurgitating confirmation answers, or just coming to the Lord when danger threatens. This is living for and always resting in God and trusting in him continually. And in a world where evil invades every corner and where new plagues seem to surface at our tent every day, verse 10 seems like a pipe dream. But in this narrative, the man or the woman who God has raised from the baptismal font is spared from the real death, which is hell. For God is our refuge and our strength. The angel of death, that horrible plague that consumed the firstborn of Egypt, will not come to us. The blood of the Passover sacrifice has been painted on our doors. We will be safe from the real danger, our real enemy, eternal damnation. Verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. These verses connect our psalm to the gospel reading for today. As you heard in the gospel, the devil quotes the scripture to Jesus during the temptation account. They are the only verses of scripture that are actually quoted by the devil, at least that we have record of. And he actually misquotes it. He leaves out the phrase, in all your ways. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. The temptation for Jesus and for us is that we want to go our own ways instead of trusting in God and the way that he would have us to go, even if it means bearing a cross. And bearing the cross will not be by our own means, by our own doing. He does not give us some superhuman strength that we can now demonstrate to the world like a superhero in the comics or the movies that we like to watch with our kids. Our weakness is not somehow transformed, nor is it taken from us, but his angels carry and support us. We all will surrender to this physical death, which we once feared and hated like the rest of humanity. Weak and helpless, we will be lifted up to live the life which God has already begun in us, in which he feeds this day with his body and blood. He is the fortress, the rock of our life, not us. Moving on to verse 14. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Because he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. In these verses, you may notice a change of speaker or voice, and a change of the dominant pronoun. It changed from you to I. Previously, the psalmist was speaking to us, but now God is talking to us and is promising us several things. First, he promises us protection for those who trust in him. God will rescue and protect us, protect those who love him and trust him. Those that have experienced his protection and his care know this, and in gratitude shower him with thanks and praise. Secondly, God recognized that those who follow him, they can count on him when they call on him and answered their prayers. God also acknowledges that when the answer comes, it may not always be deliverance, but perseverance, and that he will always be with them during their trouble. When we go through stuff, God goes through stuff with us. God will sustain us in our suffering. And thirdly, God promises long life and salvation. Long life was something that God would promise to the righteous of Old Testament times, those that loved and trusted in God. Though we don't live as long as they did back then, our lives can be just as rich and complete. And lastly, salvation is the added promise of heaven yet to come. And that concludes Psalm 91, a psalm of hope. It would be a great psalm to add to your daily Bible reading ritual during this penitential time of Lent, especially as war is raging in Europe. It is a psalm of blessing and promise for those who truly love and trust in God. Acknowledge his name. Call upon him in prayer and praise, and seek satisfaction in what he alone can provide. Does that description sound like you? I pray that it does. And I pray that in a world that seems to be in turmoil, this psalm gives you hope for the journey ahead. Amen.